Good morning. So I do have one last song before I leave for school. Hope you guys all like it. It's called What Do I Know of Holy by Addison Road.
Amid your promises a thousand times, I tried to hear from heaven, but I talked the whole time. I think I made you too small. I never feared you at all, no. If you touched my face, would I know you? Looked into my eyes, could I behold you? What do I know of you? You spoke me in motion. Where have I even stood but the shore along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? So what do I know? What do I know of holy? I thought that I had figured you out. I knew all the stories, and I learned to talk about how you were mighty to save. But those were only empty words on a page. Then I caught a glimpse of who you might be. The slightest hint of you brought me down to my. What do I know of you? You spoke me in motion. Where have I even stood but the shore along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? What do I know? What do I know of holy? What do I know of holy? What do I know of wounds that will heal my shame? And a God who gave life its name. What do I know of holy? Of the one who the angels praise. All creation knows your name. On earth and heaven above, what do I know of this love? So what do I know of you? You spoke me in motion. Where have I even stood but the shore along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? Lord, so what do I know? What do I know of holy?
Thank you, Valerie. I guess we're going to have to wait in semester breaks, that kind of thing, to have her share again. Salisbury is only about a 3-hour ride, and it's a real nice city. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament book of Romans. Jane Acker is going to come and read for us. Jane?
So Romans 5, 1-11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we, also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now been received reconciliation.
Thanks, Jay. Thank you, Jane. This morning we want to talk about the doctrine of justification, justification by faith. That is a solid rock foundational belief, a solid rock foundational belief of the Protestant Evangelical Church, Protestant Evangelical theology, justification by faith. Romans chapter 5, that Jane just read from, verse 1 in the New Testament says, and I quote, listen to these words, we have been justified through faith. Of course, that's via the shed blood of Jesus. But the Apostle Paul writing here says, we have been justified through faith. This is very important doctrine. I hope you don't think the doctrine is just dry and dead and not important, but doctrine is what we believe. What do you believe about justification? What do you believe about eternal life? What do you believe about the forgiveness of sins and all those kinds of things? This morning, we're focusing on justification. Justification is God's judicial declaration that a person is okay and in right standing with him. Justification is God's judicial declaration that a person is okay and in right standing with him. And nothing, I underscore, nothing will bring about justification except one's personal response through faith to God's act of grace demonstrated in the life and the love of Jesus Christ. Good place for an amen. Oh, thanks. Nothing brings about justification except our personal response via faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. No works, no religious works, no religious deeds, no good deeds, no human good, no keeping the law, no regulations, no religious regulations, no ceremonial or Sabbath day law keeping. None of that brings justification. Justification by faith is good, sound, biblical theology. So here's the question. Are you justified? Can you stand before God and he will say, I declare you justified. You're okay in your relationship to me. Can you say, yes, I am justified? Now, that's foundation to our theme this morning. But that is not necessarily the emphasis that I want to make. Today I want to take this tract of not just talking about the doctrine of justification, but I want to talk about the benefits, the personal benefits that we can experience and receive when we take that step of faith and we are justified before God. So what are the personal benefits to being justified through faith? In other words, we want to answer this question, why justification? Is it really relevant? Is it something that we can experience? And what are the benefits from it? Let me just simply illustrate this thing with marriage. Now, getting married, a couple getting married, that's a wonderful thing. At least I think so. Next month, Connie, my wife and I, we will celebrate 50 years of marriage. Yes, for those of you that don't know us, we really are that old. And that was a wonderful day when we got married. I remember, you know, all the papers, and then, you know, you have to do all the stuff and you're married. That legal requirement of getting married set and established our position, that we're husband and wife together. But I tell you, I wasn't just really all excited about that. I was excited about all the benefits that were going to follow. She was going to clean and wash my clothes, you know? No. Even though she did do that. And she sewed and cooked meals. And I think our first meal she burnt. Correct? Right? Yep. That was a long time ago, but I remember it. But there was fantastic benefits that came out of that. So when a couple gets married, it's more than just, okay, we're married. There's all the intimacies and the relationships and sharing life and crying together and laughing together. And for Christians, of course, praying together and having children and all the heartache that maybe go with that and all the joys that come with that. So why justification? What are the benefits, the personal benefits? And I believe as we look at this passage here in Romans chapter 5, there are four, and if you want to take notes or at least mentally remember them, there are four very fantastic, awesome personal benefits from justification. And the first one is peace with God. I touched on that briefly a few moments ago. Verse 1, peace with God. We could call this real peace. Apart from God's grace, as demonstrated in the sacrificial, and I picked my words so carefully this morning so that you will hear them, through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, man lives in rebellion, in a non-peaceful, as an enemy relationship with God the Father, the Creator. We are separated from God, and if there is no justification, there is no fellowship with God, and we face eternal separation from God and eternal damnation. So justification that's going to bring about a real peace is extremely important. So ever since Adam and Eve, every human being, every person that's ever been born lives in this broken, no fellowship relationship with God the Father. Man and God are at odds. There is no peace. And oftentimes people create and they fabricate things and they do things to produce a smoke screen to like, nah, let's just deny God, he's not real, and Jesus, etc., etc., and I'll live my life the way I want. But it's all nothing but a big smoke screen covering up that yearning, that lack of harmony between them and the Creator that can only be found through this thing called justification. My wife and I have been to Macedonia a number of occasions as our oldest son was a missionary there. And I remember the early first trip we went, he took us up into Kosovo. It was kind of risky then. Kosovo was under UN mandate. And I remember driving around, he was driving, and we're looking at all these bombed out buildings and bombed out places. And the UN had brought troops in, a peacekeeping force. And churches were being guarded, church buildings, Orthodox or Protestant or Catholic, whatever shape it was, church buildings were being guarded by UN tanks in order to try to maintain peace. And there was a facade of peace, but there was no real peace. Are you at peace with God? The only way is through justification. That becomes a fantastic personal benefit. A benefit through where God says, you are okay. You are okay in my eyes because now you have taken that step of repenting of your sin and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind what I said. Faith is the only way that we are justified. It's not through religious works or deeds or traditions or whatever. That produces nothing. And why can I say that? Because that's what God says. Now I'm going to step out into an arena this morning that I think is absolutely essential. Come the end of September, we have an exciting thing going on, don't we? Now, I'm not talking about Connie and I going to Israel. We are going to Israel for our 50th anniversary. But there's a real big thing happening in Philadelphia. Does anybody know? The what? He's doing what? He's coming to Philadelphia, okay? Do you have your ticket to go? No. Me either. So I got to be really careful here because somebody will misunderstand what I'm saying. I have absolutely no desire to see the Pope. You couldn't pay me to go see the Pope. Now, if he invited me to come and talk with him, I would love to. I would love to sit down and just he and I have a good old conversation. And I would basically ask him two questions. Here's the first question that I would ask him. My good friend, I won't address him as Pope or Father because Scripture says call no man Father except your biological father. And if you don't know that, you need to read the New Testament. So I'd say, my good friend, if you were to die tonight, do you know for certain without any doubt that you would spend eternity with God in heaven? If he's true to his Catholic theology, Roman Catholic theology, his answer must be, I underscore, must be, no. Does that sound shocking to you? Because Roman Catholic theology teaches that if anybody would teach the assurance of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, that is anathema, that is heresy. Read Tertullian. So he would say no if he's true to Roman Catholic theology. So my second question would be, if you were to die tonight and you were to stand before God and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And again, if he is true to his Roman Catholic theology, he's going to say, I've been a pretty good dude. He might not say dude, but a pretty good person. I'm the Pope. I lead this largest, quote, Christian group in the universe. And I do good things. Then the Father in heaven is going to say, wrong answer. Wrong answer. What is the right answer? I've been justified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. I don't deserve it. I have done nothing to deserve it. Only because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's the answer that the Father wants. That brings about peace and harmony with the Father. If you base your justification and being declared okay by God the Father on how good you are, how good are you? Or how bad you're not? How bad are you not? And how much good have you done? Have you done enough good? You'll never be sure. You'll never be sure. But praise God, it's based on our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has accomplished and done for us. Second personal benefit, and I love this one, it's access into his grace. This brings us real, real provision. Access into his grace. The Apostle Paul here writing talks about grace, and we have access. And throughout the New Testament, that the curtain in the Old Testament temple and tabernacle was torn when Jesus died. Jesus becomes the curtain that opens us and gives us access into the Father's presence. Psalm 23:1. If you know Psalms, The Lord is my shepherd. What's the next phrase? I shall not want. I love the NIV translation. It says, I shall lack nothing. I shall lack nothing. Faith gains access into grace that produces justification. That we who were one time enemies with God now become heirs of all that He has to offer us. Now, when I die, my kids are going to get some stuff. And I just shared this with someone this past week, and I shared that my oldest son gets my purple Sportster, and my youngest son, Tim, he gets my rocker, my Harley rocker, which price-wise and ride-wise and power-wise, there's no comparison, you know? Even though I like the Sportster, man, that rocker's just amazing. And the person that I told that to, you're giving your oldest son something that's not quite as good as what you're giving your youngest son? And then I said, well, no, my oldest son gets my 67 Camaro too. Well, they understood that. That made a difference. So when I die, I have a big long list, and it's in my office and in my safe at home, and my kids will get certain things, all the way from the cars and the bikes and the knives and the guns to, you know, whatever stuff we collect. One of the benefits of justification is that we who were once enemies with God, now we become heirs of what He wants to give to us. And what He gives to us is everything we need. Capital N-E-E-D, what we need. It's all because of His wonderful grace. I want you to notice an important phrase. If you happen to have your Bibles in front of you or you made a note, there's a phrase in verse 2, and he's talking about grace and being justified. And here's the phrase in the NIV translation. Listen to it. In which we now stand. In which we now stand. You go, Pastor, what's the big deal there? Stand in reference to our daily stability in life, which is very experiential and extremely important. Our identity, our position, comes out of how we stand in life. And where is your identity? Is your identity found because of you've been justified through God's wonderful grace through faith? Or is your identity in your job? Or you're a husband, or you're a wife, or you're a mother or father? And all those things are fine. But our identity and where we stand and we find this fantastic provision, our stability comes, is that if we stand in God's grace because we've been justified. And daily stability comes there. And we all know that life can be terribly difficult. Relationships, family, children, parents, in-laws who become outlaws, all kinds of stuff and cancers and heart problems and issues and you name it, life can be tough. So where do we find stability? Stability comes because of God's grace. We've been justified. And now we stand in that. We have a thing in our society, and I love to, I ask people, you know, and they ask me, how you doing? And I go, wonderful. And that shocks people that I would say wonderful. And most of you know my next response to that is, it's great to be alive, but better to be dead. And you go, whoa. I did that last night. I was in the CVS on 33, the middle one by Wendy's. And the kid goes, yeah. I said, yeah, it all depends on where you're going. If you're going up, this is as bad as it gets. If you're going down, this is as good as it gets. And the light bulb went on. He got it. But another thing that people ask, and they ask, how you doing? And I say, doing fine and wonderful. And then I say, well, how are you doing? And what's the typical response from people today? I'm hanging in there. And you know what I say? Fist or fingertips. Fist or fingertips. A couple people have said fingernails. And I say, well, if it's fist, that's good. I'm glad you're holding on. If it's fingertips, man, I'd sure like to talk to you, you know. But you know, you can be standing. You don't have to be hanging in there. if you're just hanging in there, whether it's fist or fingertips or fingernails, and you profess to know Jesus Christ, you're not drawing from His grace. By faith, you're not drawing from who you are, your identity, and so forth in life. Third personal benefit from justification, joy in the hope of God's glory. This takes us into real purpose. Verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." This is all under the umbrella in the context of experiencing justification through God's grace. Justification through faith produces this rejoicing, this real joy, because of the fantastic benefit of hope. Of hope. H-O-P-E. Hope leads to joy. That brings about the fact that I have purpose for living. No hope leads to despair. No hope leads to despair. But hope leads to joy because now I have a purpose for living, a purpose that's bigger than just my little world. You know, I am no longer just a navel gazer. You know, there is a group of navel gazers. They just sit around and gaze at their own navels. That's kind of metaphorical, of course. There is a joy because we have hope. We have purpose. Hope always leads to God's goals and God's purpose for our lives. His purpose for us. Listen to me carefully. His purpose for us, His purpose for you. Yes, that involves eternal goals, eternal purpose of heaven, but I'm talking about purpose right now for why we're alive. Of course, to be Christ-like disciples, but personal joy because now we're plugged into that I am living for His purpose for my life. There is no such thing as luck. I shared this over the years, and I hope it's one of those things that when I am long gone and nothing but a memory, that you remember that there is no such thing as luck. And I love when people use that word. There is no such thing as luck. But I'll tell you, there is luck. L-U-C-K. Life under Christ's kingdom. That's how we are to live. That's how we live. Not luck, no coincidence, no whatever will be, will be. No such thing as fate. There's no such thing as fate in God's eyes. Only life under Christ's kingdom. And when you're living that way, what a fantastic purpose. I know who I am and I know what I'm living for. Whatever He wants in my life. That's bigger than my wonderful wife and my fantastic children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. That's bigger than all of that. And my wife could abandon me, and I don't think she is, but and my kids could denounce me, and I don't think they are, and my grandkids could hate me, and my great-grandkids, who are little now, but they could say, "Oh, we don't want you, Papa." That would hurt. Oh, that would hurt. But it won't ruin me. Because I live under Christ's kingdom and I live for Jesus Christ and His purpose. The fourth benefit, real quickly, the gift of His Holy Spirit. And if you were here last Sunday, you know, I talked about the Holy Spirit and experiencing the Holy Spirit. This is about real power. The gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that supernatural presence of God, all because we have justified because of grace through faith, God gives us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come because I've been good or I have not been so bad and I've done this, this, and this, and okay, now the Holy Spirit's come, or I've reached a certain age where I say a little prayer or go through a little ceremony and now I've got the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit comes when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and He's the Lord of my life. And His Holy Spirit comes and He indwells us. I can't explain that scientifically. But he does. That's the promise of God's word. We are justified, and now his spirit lives in us, and he quickens us, and he gives us a life, eternal life, and he gives us the power to live the kind of life that he wants us to live, the power to accomplish his purpose in our lives. And see, I have to go back, as I started when we were praying a few moments ago, to that moment in 1968, where Jesus Christ spoke to me and he touched my life. And here you see me, these years later, preaching a sermon or leading a church. You see that? You didn't see me then. Connie did, and she'll tell you what I was like. It's only because of God's wonderful grace and the power of his Holy Spirit, that moment where I said, it's not about me, Jesus. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I thank you for that. But fill me with your Spirit. Mold me, shape me, change me, whatever you want to do. And he did. Think about it. What else do we need? Really? What else do we need? And I love life. I love life. I love being a pastor and preacher and being a husband. That has its benefits, right? Being a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather and riding a Harley. I mean, you could say, well, you got everything, man. Doesn't compare that much to heaven, Jesus. And knowing who I am and where I'm going and the power of his Holy Spirit. The benefits of justification through faith. Peace with God, real peace. Access into his grace, real provision. He'll provide whatever we need. Joy in the hope of his glory, real purpose. I have a purpose for living. And the gift of his indwelling Holy Spirit, real power in my life. Are you experiencing those benefits? Let's suppose, we're going to close in a minute, that I said to you this morning, you didn't know it, but yesterday I went down to the bank, Santander is our bank down the street, and I deposited $100,000 in your account. Whoa. Say, it's yours. When does it become a benefit? You got to have faith, but now you got to draw on it. And sad, so many professing Christians, they understand Jesus, they understand who he is, they know that he's God, the Son of God, he died on the cross, but they're not drawing from his benefits. Are you justified through faith in Jesus Christ? The benefits can be yours. Are you justified? Are you? We're going to close with prayer in a moment. Last Sunday I did this, and today I feel the same. I do not do this every Sunday if you're visiting. This is a little more strange for me. But if you've never been justified, if you've been basing your relationship to God on how good you are, how bad you're not, and you want to be justified, you want to say, Jesus, I trust you. I put my faith in you. I'm going to ask you to stand. I know that may be hard, but I'm going to ask you to stand. I hope everybody's justified and are okay. I'm going to pray for you. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, your assurance of justification, make it real. Make it real in these dear ones' hearts and lives for your glory. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you that you, Jesus, are so real and your Holy Spirit is awesome. As we leave this building, let us breathe in your presence. The conscious awareness of who you are in our personal lives. We bring praise to you, Lord. Amen. We are dismissed.